Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Thank you for being here, Dr. Lee. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Walter. Well, it's really a pleasure to be with you tonight because this topic, I think, is very, very important, especially for the future. Well, I had a discussion, exactly interviewed with Mr. Aukema, and we discussed one very important thing. That's EUDRA Vigilance and European Medical Agency. Why is this important? Well, whoever wants to check out information from the adverse events of any kind of medical products in Europe, it's very difficult to find the right information and it takes lots of time. And because of it, there is a lot of doubts about results from it. On fortune, Mr. Water, find a way how to do it easily and faster. And that's why it's a pleasure for me to introduce Mr. Water here tonight. Hello, Aukema.
Thank you so much, Andre. Thanks to everybody for having me on tonight. My name is Wouter Aukema. I am based in the Netherlands. And let me perhaps introduce myself a little bit. I started my career as a computer hacker. When I was very young, my parents always needed an extra pair of fuses for the shortcuts that I created with my experiments. And so back in 1998, I started analyzing the security aspects of a computer environment from IBM called Lotus Notes and Domino. That was considered the most secure platform in the world. Used by FBI and CIA and Dutch defense organizations and secret services, banks, insurance companies worldwide, 120 million users. And I, together with my team, I broke the security. And we presented that at DEF CON in Las Vegas back in the year 2000. And I remember when I was presenting live, demonstrating live, half the audience walked out of the hall. And I thought, well, how can this not be interesting? To discover later on after the presentation that they were all going to pick up their phones and call home to pull the plug. So that's how scared they were. We got world press from that. And consequently, I gave a lot of presentations at security conferences and worldwide. With my company, Trust Factory, that we founded back in 1999, we started to specialize in the analysis of end-user behavior for this IBM Lotus Notes environment. And I think that over the course of 10, 12 years, we analyzed some 15 million end users worldwide, initially with the aim to reduce costs for our customers. Later on, also forensic work to find information leaks. We were very successful with that. In 29, 2009, 2010, Microsoft became very successful in conquering IBM customers. But when I was able to do the DNA analysis at these customers, then IBM would always win. So IBM was very happy with me, and that resulted in 2012 in the sale of the services towards IBM. So that was nice. Ever since, I do research in other big data areas of that are of interest to me or that I find important for society. And obviously, back in 2020, when the COVID crisis started, I became interested in the statistics and the data that was being published. And it is a pity that Mike Eden isn't here because I have an interesting story that I would like to start with. Back in 2020, there was a retraction paper authored by 24 scientists worldwide, with a lot of criticism towards the Coleman-Drosten paper. The Coleman-Drosten paper, that was the basis, that was the golden standard for all the billions of PCR tests that were being performed worldwide. And this retraction paper had a lot of criticism. I couldn't do a lot with that criticism because it is not my area of expertise. But there was one question in this retraction paper that made me curious, and that was dealing with the peer review of the Coleman-Drosten paper. They had questions about that, and I thought by myself, well, I can work with that. And if the answer is that peer review did not take place, then this retraction paper becomes much more important for me. So what I did is, and remember, this is 2020. So what I did is I went to the scientific journal of the European Committee, which is called Eurosurveillance. And this is where that PCR Coleman-Drosten paper was published. I downloaded 5 years of all the publications from that scientific journal and started analyzing the metadata, the peer review process of all these thousands of publications. And the interesting result was that of all the articles, if you take a look at the average time each year for a peer review, that is approximately 180 days, which is normal. During 2020, it went almost twice as fast, the peer review process. And I created a bubble plot, a cluster plot, if you will, where each of these thousands of publications are shown along their peer review time, and I discovered that there was one anomaly, one exception, and this was the Coleman-Drosten paper. It was peer reviewed in 1 day, not in 180 days.
Wow,
And
that is stunning.
yes, so I created a picture of my analysis, and I posted that on my Twitter profile. And that went, how do you say that, viral? It was distributed millions of times, and it is used in books and things like that. So that was That was interesting. But to me, it meant that I'm looking at a retraction paper of 24 scientists worldwide. And that paper must be, must be important because what they say, the one thing that I verified is true. And so I started doing some education of myself. When you look at PCR tests, then we talk about the Bayes law, and which is pretty complex. But once you get a good grip on that, then you understand what is going on, namely that where in the real world, in the real scientific world, we are looking at a seven dimensional space. Any diagnostics test is dependent on the prevalence within the population, who has the illness, who does not have the illness. That is a fact, so you can express that as a percentage of the population, and the quality of the test is defined by specificity and sensitivity. So you start testing, and the end result is not in the way that our Dutch government, and I think they did that everywhere in the world, is saying that something is false or sorry, something is n outcome is negative or an outcome is positive. No, if an outcome is positive, but the person does not have the disease, then in fact we are looking at a false positive result. It is not a true positive result. And the other way around, if you test negative, but the person does have the disease, then you look at a false negative and not a true negative. So in the mainstream media, they were all focusing on and making us scared about false negative results, because what happens if you think somebody does not have the disease, but he does, you get infected, all kinds of fear. The governments, they only spoke about, we tested so many people, and this is the percentage that was positive. Typically some 10, 12% back in the autumn of 2020. And I developed a software utility. Because if you, yeah, and maybe I can use an example of a 90 degree, how you call that, triangle, where the theory of Pythagoras tells you that a squared plus b squared equals c squared. Now, the c squared is the diagonal side. So what my government is doing is it tells me the outcome is five, but it doesn't say anything about A and B. A can be three and B four, or A can be four and B three, as an example. Yeah, three, four, five triangle. In terms of diagnostic testing, we don't have three variables, we have seven. Prevalence, sensitivity, specificity, false and true positives, false and true negatives. That is the entire constellation. So what I did is, based on the Bayes law, I created this program that basically calculates every possible outcome that matches what the government is telling me. And so we're looking at millions of calculations every day on every result that was presented. And I went to the government and requested the specifications of the PCR test, 80% sensitivity, 99.8% specificity. Yes, 80% sensitivity. And the population, the prevalence on the population at that time and 2020 was about 2.5, 3%, if I remember correctly. So my software would automatically discard all the results that do not fit in that constellation. And as a consequence, I discovered that 90%, 90% of all the positive outcomes that have been reported by the government were in fact false positives. So only 10% true positives. And yeah, I think that is how shall I say that? I'm not only surprised, it is almost criminal that they are creating such results.
Well, you know, Mr. Elkema,
yes.
Speaking as a physician treating patients all throughout 2020 and since, I think it absolutely is criminal that the governments of the world lied to the public about the specificity and sensitivity and reliability of this test that was never intended to be a diagnostic test. And my concern is that they knew that, and they used it as a weapon.
Of course they knew.
Yes, and they used it as a weapon of fear to terrorize people and trigger the lockdowns, the business shutdowns, and then push everyone into the experimental gene therapy shot. So to have your data confirm what we saw on the medical front lines trying to treat people and work against the narrative is very powerful and critically important. Thank you. Thank you for all of your hard work on this.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. What is interesting is two things. In January 2021, we published our article called The Baseline Stool. And when we did that, a storm broke loose of I don't know how many people from all over the world that started criticizing and saying stupid things. They even made a Hitler movie clip on YouTube. Two of my co-authors were fired, Simon Goddek from Wageningen University here in Holland, and Bobby Rogers from Vienna. So it is, the whole psychological war that then starts to happen is amazing. So that is one aspect. The second thing, which I find interesting to mention, is that our government in Holland analyzed an entire population of the city of Lansingerland. And this is a city of 70,000 inhabitants. And in a clean lab environment, the Erasmus University and the Regional Health Service tested everybody in a clean lab environment. The outcome was 1.1% positives. Whereas on the Corona dashboard in the Netherlands, so the official government data, they were at the same period showing 12% positives in the Dutch population. So that difference between what the government was communicating, 12%, and the scientific clean lab outcome of an entire population of a city is 1.1%. That difference is 90%. And these are the 90% false positives that our article is showing. Yeah. So that is interesting. In April 2021, I was approached by a German professor with the name Harald Waller, together with a German oncologist, Mr. Rainer Clement. They were analyzing the number of lives saved per 100,000 doses of vaccines, COVID vaccines, based on the Israeli data. And the question they had for me was if I could analyze the number of fatalities per 100,000 doses of COVID vaccines. And so I started looking at the pharmacovigilance database of the European Union, the European Medicines Agency, and this database has the name, the difficult name, Udra Vigilant. And so I started downloading data and discovered that it is, well, for a normal human being, or a journalist or a medical doctor, it is almost impossible to do, even to be able to download that data. So I took me a lot of energy to download the data. And I discovered that where in the Netherlands, the reporting rate of serious adverse events was at about 700 per 100,000 doses. In Germany, it was only 35. So that's a factor 20 different from the Netherlands. And so this told me that if the reporting rate is so different between the various EU member states, then I cannot fulfill the request of Professor Wallach. And it was based on that, and we discussed that. And then we said, okay, well, let's take the best country of the class, which is the Netherlands, and let's calculate how many people have reported fatal events from the COVID jab compared to the number of lives saved by 100,000 doses. We ended up with every four lives saved, three are killed. So we published that in May 2021, triple peer reviewed in a journal called NDPI Vaccines. And we broke two world records with that. The first world record was it was the most read article in the world. And the second world record is less flattering. We are the fastest retracted article in the world. Within 7 days, it was gone.
Oh, my heavens. No wonder they retracted it. Dr. Gilthorpe had a comment or question. Let's give him a chance to ask you about that.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Lee. Well, that was interesting, Wouter, because I was thinking your original paper on the inaccuracy of the PCR test.
Yes.
Has not been retracted, despite, you know, two authors losing their jobs potentially related to that publication. And I think one of those features of it's in Faculty of 1000 Research, and one of the features of that journal is that you can submit updates. So I think it would be a very good idea if you could. It would be to, you know, update it with that real world data that you mentioned that actually shows that the original publication was sound.
That is an interesting thought,
that was just a comment.
That is fantastic. We should do that.
Yeah, because I worked actually when I was in London with one of the people that set up this journal in the beginning, and it was designed as a kind of totally open access, peer reviewed by a group of a faculty of 1000 researchers that were in the field, and the idea was that you could then submit an update to your paper. And then have this kind of live continual discussion about the paper would happen online. So it would be awesome if you could do that, because it actually shows you were right.
It would help some of the legal and congressional and parliamentary investigations going on around the world if you did that.
Yeah, it's very hard to argue with it if you tested it in real life. But that was a comment. My question was about it. We've talked on this show quite regularly the last few weeks about the avian flu pandemic being the next great thing. And I heard saw a news article released on the 21st, which was midsummer in Sweden, by the state epidemiologist. So this was he's the new state epidemiologist, the one that the world thought was a great person for not taking Sweden into lockdown, has been switched out for a new one.
Yes.
And he's decided to start testing every influenza-like case which goes into hospital. So I wonder, can we apply this method now for the new PCRs that will be deployed for avian flu to try and get a kind of head start on the fraud, on the scientific fraud?
If the government
releases the
data outcomes, then the answer is yes.
Okay, great. I'll look out for that.
Well, and the proposal in the United States that is very, very alarming is that now Deborah Birx has proposed, and others are jumping on that bandwagon, of testing every head of cattle across the United States and all of the poultry on chicken farms and egg-laying farms. I mean, this is a devastating attack on the food supply because they are clearly using these false PCR tests to justify slaughtering these farmers' flocks and herds.
Exactly. Exactly. The PCR test is a weapon.
You know, that's a good way of putting it. And I really don't think it has penetrated through to the public mindset that the PCR test is the weapon they've used to terrorize us. Because I still, as much as I have talked about this ad nauseum for 4 years in media and to patients and interviews, I still have patients telling me at appointments every day, oh, well, I went and got a COVID test. And I keep saying the test is not reliable. You don't need to get a COVID test.
Yeah.
And how many thousands of times have I said that as a physician to my patients? So we still have a huge uphill battle to penetrate the public awareness of the total unreliability. And in fact, what you just said, the PCR test is a weapon.
Exactly.
Well, and, well said.
And I think if we look back in time and given the fact that 90% were false positives, COVID would have been a non-issue were it not we did billions of these PCR tests on people and you know, prohibited
you're
people
exactly
from socializing.
Right.
Say that again, please.
You're exactly right. I treated these patients. And I did have some people who were very sick, but I treated all of my patients outpatient, combination therapy, hydroxychloroquine, either azithromycin or clarithromycin, nebulized budesonide, high doses vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and acetylcysteine. And sometimes they needed an oxygen concentrator for about a week of oxygen support. But every single patient I treated was treated in the outpatient setting at home. No one died and no one went into the hospital. You're right. It would have been a non-event, except that they weaponized the PCR test and they interfered with practicing physicians treating their patients and made them all stay home and get sick and go to the ER when they were critically ill and then put them on the COVID death protocol.
So here's what I did, Dr. Lee. A couple of weeks ago, I mean, we all know that Google and YouTube and you name it, they are all censoring us from finding the right information.
Yes.
And so 2 weeks ago, I decided to go to Yandex, which is a Russian search engine. And I started looking for information on PCR testing and flu testing and all that stuff with the year 2018, 2019. And I stumbled upon interviews with a Dutch virologist, Marianne Koopmans, who is one of the authors of the Korman-Drosten paper. And in this interview, this video interview, in 2018, recorded in 2018, you can see and you can hear a her talking about, you know, testing, testing, testing. And I find that amazing because apparently the years before COVID, it was already an objective to massively start testing everybody. And this is why I call it a weapon.
Well, that's very interesting. Would you share that link to that video in the email and we'll put it in the show notes?
Let me make a note of that so I don't forget.
And let's take a break here and then we'll come back and talk more about all of this after the break. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation, here with the expert on PCR false positive data that can help all of us make better decisions about whether or not to even bother ever getting one of these tests again. We'll be right back after the break. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, and check out all of the nutraceuticals in our store that can help you keep your body healthy in the face of all of these new disease of the day pandemics that are being threatened. We can stay healthy and boost our immune system, and there are existing safe older medicines to treat these syndromes. You do not need to give in to the government fear-mongering. We'll be right back.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigaloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report, International Report, with our international team, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, Andrea Klarich, and our guest from the Netherlands, Wouter Olkema, who has done a phenomenal job analyzing the data on the PCR test, COVID fatalities, and many other critical pieces of information that our governments have suppressed. So let's go back to all of this analytical work that you've been doing, Wouter, and what you see as next on the horizon. What would be some of the cautions that you would give people about listening to the narrative about avian flu, for example?
Well, yeah, when it comes to avian flu, if I'm not mistaken, they are using the PCR weapon again, correct?
Yes, they are.
And so not only do we have a PCR technology that was never intended to be mass implemented, we have a fantastic peer review by Peter Borger, Dr. Peter Borger, and 23 other scientists who were having a lot of criticism on the PCR Coleman Drosten paper, the golden standard for all this mass PCR testing. I have my analysis that we published back in 21, where we show 90% false positives of all these mass tests that took place. 90% false positives proven by my own government, because they tested an entire city in Holland, and they came only to 10% of what was being communicated. So any disease, you can explode any disease with PCR. And as long as the government's narrative is copied by the mainstream media, then you create hysteria among the population. And in this case, avian flu, if you ask me, it is a way to get rid of the farmers. We see the same in Holland, in the Netherlands. Before I started analyzing the COVID space, in end of 2019, our government said we had a nitrogen crisis. A nitrogen crisis caused by two aspects. One is the combustion of fossil fuels, so you end up with nitrogen dioxide. And the other is NH3, ammonia, caused by the farmers, the pigs, the cows, the cattle. And end of 2019, they published a report on the nitrogen crisis, where it was all the blame, on the farmers, all was to blame on the farmers, and nothing on the industry. And in December 2019, the Dutch government had to publish the raw data. There was a legal court case, and the government had to publish that data. Obviously, I grabbed that data, and it is very big data. Not only do I have the data from the Netherlands, I managed to download the data, the raw data, of every EU member state. And I started analyzing that. And what I saw, I hope that in this audio talk, I can explain the listeners a little bit of what I saw. First thing I did is I looked at shipping. In the Netherlands, we live on the coast of one of the busiest shipping lanes in the world. Big oil tankers, container shipping, etc. Here is what I saw. When the ships come from Spain, go via France, Belgium, they emit, let's say, 100 milligrams of nitrogen per second. And as soon as they enter the Dutch waters, all of a sudden, they only emit 25. So a factor 4 less. And then they ship alongside Holland, and then they go to Germany or Denmark, and all of a sudden it becomes 100 again. Now, obviously, these ships don't turn off 75% of their engines. So the conclusion is, the observation is that the Dutch government is treating ships different than all the other EU member states. I did the same with electricity manufacturing. How do you say that? The power plants, yeah? Power plants, electricity. I looked at Holland, at all the power plants, and compared them to the power plants in the rest of Europe, comparable in terms of production capacity and comparable in terms of type of fuel, be it coal or gas or etc. The Dutch power plants are switched off. They hardly emit anything, whereas if I look at the countries around the Netherlands, they emit 10 or 20 times more. And then the other component. So I remember the nitrogen crisis in Holland. It consists of an NOx crisis, the industrial combustion of fossil fuels, and the ammonia, which is caused by the farmers. I looked at the farming data. I have the data of the past 20 years for every cow that has lived in the Netherlands. I know exactly where the GPS coordinates, where it lived, when it got born, how it died, when it died.
Wow. How in the world?
I saw a farm in the north of the country which was registered for 800 cows. Then I take a look at the Google satellite. I look at the farm. I take the measurements, the dimensions of the farm. It is impossible to fit 800 cows in that farm. They would have to stack them on top of each other, which is never the case. So I called the farmer, and we had an interesting conversation. And the farmer told me that, well, Mr. Aukema, he said, I never had more than 120 cows, and I stopped 4 years ago. So this is not an isolated anomaly that I spotted. No, I have checked more than 100 farms, and it is all the same story. So there is a huge, exaggeration of the ammonia problem here in Holland. And so they are downplaying the industrial, the transport and the avian part of the crisis, and they are exploding the farmer part of the crisis.
Is just staggering weaponization of government against the people.
Exactly. And coming back to your question with regards to the avian flu, this is what I see, Dr. Lee. And people need to realize that this is indeed weaponization by the government.
I mean, that is just, there is so much over the, especially the last 4 years, that has been so shocking and absolutely chilling. But, you know, for the government of the Netherlands to exaggerate and lie to that extent about the contribution of the farmers versus the industrial contribution just takes it to a whole nother level.
There is not only an info war, if you will, there is a data war, and we the people are being lied to, and that I find unacceptable.
Andrea, do you see or do you hear any experts in Croatia and Dr. Gilthorpe in Sweden talking about some of these same problems happening in your countries? I know it's happening in the United States. We have whistleblowers that have uncovered it. What do you find in Croatia and Sweden?
Well, honestly speaking, I didn't go deeper in this subject, and I don't hear anything about this weaponization of government against people. I believe that it's less in Croatia, but not because they don't want it, because we are not good organized like other countries, you know, and we have a lack of organization and experts in this field. And that's why it's not easy to change this data, because you need people for this. For sure, for Netherlands or for Sweden, it's much easier. I hope so that it doesn't happen, but if I reach to it, of course, I will investigate.
Well, it's something to look into. And Wouter, maybe you and your team have a way to begin looking at some of these other countries and seeing to what extent you may find evidence of collusion on exactly this strategy of weaponizing the information about the farmer danger in order to serve the political narrative affecting the and get impact the food supply versus downplaying the industrial aspects. Yeah, Dr. Gilthorpe, you had a comment.
Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry, right. I'll just finish up Dr. Lee's question. I think in Sweden, I think what's happening, we would see, and I'd love to have a bigger eagle view picture of this helicopter perspective, but I think it's lockstep. It's this Rockefeller lockstep agenda, which has been published and talked about. So all countries are doing it, but they're doing it in different ways so as people don't realize that this is coordinated. So one thing that's happened in Sweden is that previously, if you had a threatened species on your land, in your forest, for example, a lot of Swedes have small areas of forest that they've had in the family for a time, or they bought them, and they're responsible for looking after those. But it was the regional governments, called Länsstyrelsen in Sweden. They have a unit that looks after, you know, inventories, the number of animals of different kinds, and looks after these various species. They check how many moose there are, how many wolves, how many bears. So what they're doing now is putting the onus on the individual landowner to make sure they know if they have this particularly threatened orchid or butterfly on their land. And if they don't, they're responsible. These people have probably have no training to recognize this particular wild spotted orchid or whatever it may be, but they're then responsible for registering it. And so I think they're going to go after the land in a slightly different way than they're doing the Netherlands, but I think it's happening. And the more we talk about this, the more we can share information across the EU, particularly, the easier it will be to expose it.
Yeah, I think that is very interesting what you're saying, Jonathan. I did not know that. And I think I agree with you that they are applying different strategies in different countries. Andre was saying that in Croatia, he doesn't see that nitrogen data thing that I just talked about. I can confirm that there is no country other than the Netherlands in Europe where they are exploiting the nitrogen as a crisis. So let's with your permission, because I have one important topic that I also would like to discuss in this call.
Yes, go right ahead.
Early last year, I spoke to you about the EMA pharmacovigilance database called Uitrevigilance, and it is we have 6,000 different medicines, drugs, vaccines in Europe that are approved for marketing. 6,000, and to collect the pharmacovigilance data for one drug takes you approximately 1 to 2 hours. So you can imagine that it is an impossible task to download that for every of these 6,000 different drugs. And knowing that EMA has an Oracle BI system, an Oracle Business Intelligence system, where they publish these reports, I went to the AI, artificial intelligence. I used ChatGPT. And I confronted ChatGPT with a very complex URL and asked it if it could specify to me what variables, what parameters do I see. And so, long story short, ChatGPT helped me to hack the EMA in a legal way. Yeah. And together with a brilliant developer, I developed a tool that allows me to download all the 22 years of history of the EMA Uitrevigilance database for all of these 6,000 drugs. This is very big data. I'm looking at some 12 million case safety reports, all the details.
That is a stunning data analysis to have to do.
Yes.
I would say I don't know that I've encountered a data set that big.
Yeah, it is big data. Thankfully, I am experienced. I have the expertise to deal with that. I have the systems to deal with that, and I developed a dashboard that shows this entire history. It shows all the insights, and maybe I can talk you through a little bit of what you see when you take a look at that dashboard. Every case safety report is either submitted by a patient or a family member of that patient or his or her doctor. So I can split the case safety reports between who submitted that. And I prefer to look at healthcare professionals as the submitter, because these reports tend to be more reliable. Then I can take a look at COVID vaccines, so the Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Janssen, we have a lot in Europe, and all other forms of medication. So I split COVID vaccines from all other drugs. When I take a look at the past 6 years of all other drugs, I see a pretty horizontal line, meaning every week I see a constant influx of case safety reports. When we take a look at COVID, then we see the reports coming in since December 2020, and then they explode the number of reports. And I'm looking at serious reports only. Serious means hospitalization, life-threatening, disabling, child anomalies, etc. Yeah? An explosion. The number of case safety reports reported by healthcare professionals in Europe is more than twice as much compared to all other forms of drugs or medication. That in itself is already a safety signal, Dr. Lee. Now, when I take a look at only the COVID vaccines, I saw something that I fell off my chair. Do you know what the most reported side effect is of the COVID vaccines in the EMA? It is COVID-19. But I thought the COVID vaccines were to prevent COVID-19. So by far the most reported side effect of the COVID vaccines is COVID itself.
Wouter, I have seen that medically in my practice. In the patients of my practice who went ahead and got the COVID shots, even though I warned them that there were risks and there was too much we didn't know, and that we could treat the illness, too many went ahead and got the shots and the boosters. And in every single one of them, they have had COVID at least once since the COVID shots. And many of them have had COVID 3 and 4 times, and Epstein-Barr, and cytomegalovirus, and mycoplasma pneumonia. Yeah,
exactly. So this, and I'm not a doctor, Dr. Lee. So my expertise is pattern analysis. I discover pattern from big data. And this is what I see. I want to give one and other example from this dashboard, because what I did is I downloaded the Medra database, the medical dictionary for regulatory activities. And so all of the individual reactions I can then map according to Medra towards system organ classes. and one of the system organ classes are cardiac disorders. So in my dashboard, I click on cardiac disorders and I see all reactions that fit into that category. What is on the leaflet, on the package information leaflet of Pfizer and Moderna, is myocarditis and pericarditis. This is a very rare event, according to the information. Well, it is not. It is in the space of cardiac disorders. These two are the most reported, almost the most reported. Because what else do I see in terms of reactions in cardiac disorders? Tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, myocardial infarction, cardiac arrest, arrhythmia, acute myocardial infarct, palpitations. And what I'm wondering is, well, hang on, if myocarditis and pericarditis came into the package leaflet, yeah, why didn't the other reported side effects also end up in that package leaflet?
Right. I think there were many adverse effects of the more than 9 pages of adverse events that came out in the Pfizer documents that were court ordered in the U.S. to be released.
Yeah.
I think there were so many of those that I've seen in the medical practice that were not ever discussed with the patients ahead of time. No one got any information. The doctors just told them to take the shots. Their employers told them to take the shots. And quite frankly, Wouter, in my opinion, employers who mandated those shots to continue employment were guilty of practicing medicine without a license, and they were perpetrating fraud on their employees because they were claiming that the shots were safe and effective, and there was no data on which to say that. And they were saying it in spite of not having any medical knowledge of their employees.
Yeah, so let me respond to that with your permission. The narrative here in Europe and in the Netherlands is that, yeah, most side effects are common and they are not serious, you know, headache and something like that, huh? Headache and sleep and whatever. Let me tell you what happens with a pharmacovigilance database, whether it is either vigilance or VARS in the US. In the Netherlands, what do you think would happen if I have a call center calling 20,000 vaccinated people and I ask everybody, did you have headache? Yeah, I had headache. Okay, did you have a sore toenail? Yeah, I had that too. So you start to ask 20,000 people about non-effects, yeah? And you report them as case safety reports into other vigilance. Guess what happens? The most side effects are not serious. And this is because they are not spontaneously submitted reports by doctors or patients. Nay, these are solicited reports, which they claim to be spontaneous. And that is criminal. This is data fraud.
Yes. Well, all the way around, the fraud and deception perpetrated on the public around the world has been devastating. The cost of life and health, the cost to the economy, the damage to farming and all kinds of aspects of our life. Our way of life in Western civilization is just under assault. And your data analysis is phenomenally important. I would like to invite you to come back and talk more about the dashboard in more detail about the patterns you're seeing, because that will help medical professionals listening to the program to understand that their observations, which are dismissed as anecdotal, that their observations are correct and that it is supported by an expert in doing this big data analysis. So I think your work is critical, critically important. Very grateful you were with us today. And I would like to have you do a seminar for our other audience, Faith Over Fear, and have the visuals to show people what you're talking about. And we will commit to helping get this information out more broadly, certainly here in the U.S. And yeah, I just am grateful for you.
I thank you. Thank you very much for the offer to also do the seminar. I will do that most definitely. With regards to the dashboard, the trend that we see in the end of 22 is an explosion of case safety reports in other forms of medication, non-COVID. And the explosion that I see starting end of 22 is all dealing with immune system medication and cancer medication. And this is a worrisome, very, very worrisome pattern. And this is why, because I'm not a doctor, I want doctors to take a look at this dashboard to educate themselves. What is it that they are prescribing to their patients? What is going on?
I think that would be a very good project. And maybe we can work together to get some medical organizations here to look at your data as well.
Yeah, I would. That would be my objective, to have as many doctors in the world take a look at it.
Well, your courage and your dedication and your persistence are inspiring. And for all of our listeners, this is the kind of action by one individual that can make a difference for the world. So look at ways that you can take action as one person in your field of expertise, your network, your sphere of influence. Share this information as a starting point and look at ways that each of us can work towards helping to start the change that we want to see happen. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report with our international team, Dr. Gilthorpe from Sweden, Andrea Klaric from Croatia, and our newest guest, Wouter Alkema from the Netherlands. And I assure you, we are inviting Mr. Alkema back for further discussion of his data analysis. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.com. .org. Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. We urge you to sign up for our email alerts, donate to support our legal defense work to secure the human and civil rights secured by law, and to live our lives in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and God's truth. We are here to bring you hope and solutions for such a time as this, with all that is assaulting our way of life. Join us and stand strong against the lies and deception, and speak out. Get loud, get involved. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.